Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 14 and following. John chapter 11, verses 14 and following. So Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now you already believe. Come, let's go see him. Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go too and die with Jesus. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here and wants to see you. So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. And when the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed that she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you only had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked them. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. But some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he keep Lazarus from dying? Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled in front of his entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Jesus responded, did I tell you that you would see God's glory? If you believe. So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. And me and the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this morning, I want to share with you a few thoughts on this scripture, and I entitled this, Rise Again. Rise Again. I feel like that's a theme that we need to be reminded of in our church services more often, perhaps. We hear a lot of ideals off the television and the movies and the songs on the radio, and that may or may not be scriptural. But, you know, a few moments ago, Miss Macy was leading us, and we said out loud that we believe that Jesus was coming to judge the quick and the dead, and that we believe in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And this morning, I want to hammer down on that, because that needs to be just more than words printed on a page. It needs to be words that are printed on our hearts and our spirits, perhaps more so this year than previous years. Now, to give you a little background of this, we know from Luke's gospel that Jesus apparently would pop in Bethany on his way to Jerusalem, and he had some friends there. And in Luke's gospel, we had the famous story of Mary and Martha. And you may recall Mary was at Jesus' feet, listening to him teach and preach, you know, which was kind of unusual for a woman at that time. And Martha was in the kitchen, washing the pots and pans. I don't know why I was thinking about like Martha Stewart, right? She was over there just getting everything cooked and cleaning. And finally she said, Lord, will you tell my sister to come in the kitchen and get busy and help cook and clean? And Jesus said, Martha, 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 right? Not the Brady Bunch, Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. He said, don't worry about those pots and pans, they can wait. No. Mary shows him what's important at the moment. No. And I don't think it wasn't because Jesus didn't appreciate Martha. It was that, well, Martha, you're so concerned about being the perfect house guest, host, you're forgetting the guest, that I'm here. Pots and pans aren't going anywhere. You leave them alone. You come and join us. And so I believe that Jesus was friends to them. And they live in Bethany, which is a few miles down the road. Now, interestingly, today in Bethany, the Arabs renamed the city back 2-3 A.D., you know, a couple 100 years ago at this point. And the name now means House of Lazarus. Interesting. Why would the Arab community rename Bethany into a city called House of Lazarus? What could have happened that was so powerful that the folks living there, the Arabs, said, we need to rename this town from Bethany, House of Bread, to House of Lazarus? I personally believe that in John's gospel, we get the answer. In John's gospel, chapter 11, starts off, there was a man who was sick. He lived in Bethany, and his sister was from Mary and Martha. Okay, so now we know Mary and Martha had a brother named Lazarus. Okay, we didn't know that from Luke's gospel. And Lazarus became very sick. And so the two sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, your dear friend, the one whom you love, is very sick. So in other words, they went to someone and said, find Jesus. We don't know where he's at. Remember, this isn't back when we had Facebook and everybody was tagging themselves on Facebook, right? He's out here somewhere preaching. Go find him and tell him Lazarus is sick. That's all he needs to know is tell him. Okay? And they thought, well, Jesus will find out, and he'll either come here, or we've heard some stories about how, for example, on one occasion, a Roman centurion came to Jesus and asked him to heal his servant. But the centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. And I, too, am a soldier, and I give orders. If I tell one man to go, he goeth. And I tell one man to come, he cometh. If I tell another soldier to do this, he does it. I don't have to say it. I just give the order. And likewise, sir, I know if you will just give the order for my servant to be healed, he will be healed. And Jesus turned to his Jewish friends and said, I haven't met such faith in all of Israel. He said, go in peace. Your faith has healed your servant. And then there occasion, you may recall, a nobleman from Cana came to Jesus and said, Lord, my son is dying. Come and lay hands on him. And Jesus said, go in peace. Your son is healed. And when he got back to Cana, they told him, said, the fever broke at 11 o'clock. And no one realized it was 11 o'clock. He was talking to Jesus when that miracle happened. And then, of course, the occasion where there was a Canaanite woman. Canaanites were ancient enemies of Israelites, so they did not get along. I said, "Lord, no, will you heal my daughter?" And she said, "Well, you know, I'm Jewish and you're Canaanite, and that's like giving bread to the dogs. You can't do that." And she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs will eat the bread under the table." And she said, "Great is your faith. Go in peace. Your daughter has been healed." So that's three incidences where Jesus healed someone who wasn't even in his presence. He just gave the command. So when Jesus hears this message, he said, "This sickness has not come for the death of Lazarus. It has come that the glory of God may be revealed." So I'm sure that the messenger returned back to Bethany and said, "I got some good news. I found Jesus." Jesus said, "The sickness will not come for the death of Lazarus. It's going to reveal the glory of the Lord." Now, put yourself in the shoes of Mary and Martha. If you were at the hospital with your loved one, and you got the message back from Jesus, and Jesus said, "This sickness has not come for the death of Lazarus," you'd be excited, you'd be rejoicing. He said, "Lazarus, do you hear that? Jesus, he's coming. He's coming. We got nothing to worry about." And then comes the surprise, right? You're waiting, and you're waiting, and waiting. Is he here yet? Where's Jesus at? And you're waiting. And we've all waited for folks who didn't show up, haven't we? It might be at work, someone didn't come in. If you're younger folks, you might have had a date with someone and they ghosted you, right? Left you at the restaurant by yourself. And they're at the hospital, basically. And then Lazarus dies. And they have to go down to the funeral home. And then Lazarus is buried. How did they feel about that? "I thought, Jesus, you're our friend. You always come to our house eating. We sent you word Lazarus is dying. And you gave us the impression you were coming because you said this sickness had not come for the death of Lazarus. And now he's dead. We've had the funeral service. He's buried. And we haven't seen high hair of him. What's going on with that?" And so I think there was a lot of hurt and anger involved with this, a lot of confusion. And I say that just because I want you, when you lose a loved one, that it's okay to feel that hurt and anger and confusion. That's being human, and God can handle that. And I'm sure Mary and Martha were feeling the same feelings because they were very disappointed. Now, disappointment comes because you expect this to happen, and then you get surprised with something else. And that's what happened to them. And then Jesus tells his disciples, "Well, we need to go to Lazarus." And they're like, "Well, Lord, no. Last time we were near Jerusalem, we almost got stoned to death. Let's not do that." He said, "Well, Lazarus is asleep, and he'll wake him up." And they said, "Well, if he's asleep, he'll wake up." And so Jesus says plainly, "Lazarus is dead. But for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him." And then old Thomas, doubting Thomas, says, "Well, let's go too and die with the master." Right? He's kind of pessimistic, thinking we're gonna get ourselves killed doing this. And so Jesus is approaching the town of Bethany, okay? And so Mary and Martha are at home, and the citizens of Jerusalem, Bethany, are there mourning with them, okay? It's a community event. And then someone told Martha, "Martha, Jesus is coming. He's just outside city limits." And Martha's like, "What?" And so she gets up and runs out. And she meets Jesus. And she has a question for him. "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask." So she's like, "I don't get this. I know if you've been here, this wouldn't have happened." But yet, she also has faith. "I know even now, God will do whatever you ask." Okay. Now, usually at this point, at the funeral home, right, this one we say, "Well, one day we'll meet again in heaven," right? Jesus doesn't say that. He says, "Your brother will rise again." That's where my sermon comes from, Tom. Rise again. Resurrection morning. Jesus is looking past going to heaven. So he's looking to heaven. After that, resurrection. Okay. And Martha, she gets a little frustrated and said, "Yes, Lord, he will rise when everyone else rises on the last day." Okay. You know, sometimes we tell folks, well, you'll see your loved one in heaven, you know, and they're kind of things sometimes. Well, yeah, when it's my turn to die, you know, that's not really comforting. And Martha is kind of having the same frustration. Well, Lord, I know he'll rise on the last day. And for example, if you go back in the book of Daniel, that last chapter, you may recall how the angel told Daniel, "Daniel, you will rest for a while, and then at the end of time, you will rise for the righteous, and the righteous will shine like a star." So there was this belief among the Jewish people of the resurrection. God would raise the righteous to death, to life again. The wicked people of the world may kill the righteous, mar them, kill them, prosecute, persecute, and execute, but God would fix that by raising them to life. So she says, "Well, Lord, I know he'll rise again on the last day, you know, and who knows when that's will happen." And then Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha?" And so now Jesus turned the tables and said, "Martha, I have a question for you. Do you believe that you will live again? That those who believe in me will never die?" Now, we just did a creed a little while ago, Mason led us in about how we believe in the resurrection, the life everlasting, the communion of saints. Do we really believe that? Or do we live with doom, gloom, and despair as though death has the final say so? And Martha says, "Yes, Lord, I have always believed you're the Messiah and the Son of God and one who's come into the world from God." No. And so Martha is still not quite sure what Jesus is getting at. But she said, "Well, Lord, no, I believe you're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. You've come in the world from God." No, and it's important that even our doubts and our struggles, that while we don't understand everything, we can say, "No, I still believe this. I got my faith here. I don't understand all this craziness going on, but here's my faith." So Martha's faith, while not perfect, it was steady. And then I like this part because it shows Martha being very human. It says she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, "The teacher is here and wants to see you." Now, Jesus didn't say anything about seeing Mary, did he? I kind of wonder if Martha was telling a little white lie. I remember one time at Cleveland State, I had a history class, and one of the students I sat with, he was kind of like a class clown, and he was trying to impress this girl, and what happened was, the softball player complained to the professor about him. So in the middle of the lecture, the professor stopped and called him out, made him angry and embarrassed him. Okay. Well, then some time later went by that same semester, and my other buddy, it was right before class got started, he was on the phone. It's the old flip phone, okay, it's back in BC, okay, or 2000s, and this class clown was in the hospital. Okay, he was having some major lung surgery. So he gave the phone to me, and I chit-chat with him. And then I had this idea, so I told a few white lies. I said, "Aaron," I said, "Dr. Corporal wants to speak to you." And he said, "He does?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, sure, come on." And so I covered the phone up, right? So I go to Dr. Corporal, the professor, and say, "Dr. Colbert, Aaron Reagan's on the phone. He wants to speak to you." "He does?" I said, "Yes." And so I hand the phone off, and I was like, "I hope this works, right?" You know? And they got chit-chatting, and he said, "Where you at?" And I said, "Well, I'm in the hospital." He said, "We won't let a little thing like that stop you from coming to class, you know?" And they were and then the professor would start laughing out loud and such, you know? And after hung the phone, gave it back to me, and after that they were fine, you know. And so I had to do that, and I regret to say in that situation that later on the second semester, Aaron Reagan, during our spring break, did pass away, you know. And that's why that story is very poignant to me. And so Martha tells a little white lie. Then she tells Mary, the teacher is here, wants to see you. So Mary jumps up and takes off. Well, all the community folks who are there thinks, well, she's going to the tomb to mourn, so we'll go along with her, okay? Again, this is a Middle Eastern culture. And so when Mary comes, she's bringing the whole posse with her, if you will. And so she comes, and I like this. It says she fell at his feet. Remember, in Luke's gospel, she was at Jesus' feet. And later on, John's gospel, she'll be at his feet again, anointing his feet. And she says, Lord, if you only had been here, my brother would not have died. And talk about how she was weeping. And you get the impression that with Martha, it was more of an intellectual situation of, why? You know, why did my brother die when you could have been here and heal him? And with Mary, it was more of the heart, the emotions. Lord, I'm hurting because you could have been here. And she's weeping. And Jesus, when he saw the people weep, her weeping, and other people weeping, it says a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Now, I don't think he was angry at them, but he was angry at death, with a capital D. Angry how death has robbed his friends of a loved one, and the pain it has caused. Remember, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. God is the giver of life. Death is in total opposition to that. So I believe when Jesus and God see death, they are angry by it because that is not part of the original creation. And he says, where have you put him? And they said, Lord, come and see. And then Jesus wept. Now, we see the tears come down his face as he begins hurting, seeing his friends hurting, you know. And he's not weeping necessarily because of Lazarus, but he's weeping, you know, because he sees his people, his loved ones hurting. And sometimes we're in situations where our friends are hurting, and it makes us hurt. And the people who were standing by said, see how he loved him. But some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Now, in chapter 9, remember Jesus made some mud and healed a blind man who was born blind. And sometimes we'll be in that situation of, we'll think, well, Lord, why is it this person had cancer and you healed that person? And this person was sick and we prayed and you healed them. But then why did my loved one die? And my friends, we will not know the answer on this side of eternity. Only God knows his wisdom, why he chooses to heal some and others he takes home to glory. We just have to have faith. And said so Jesus was still angry when he arrived at the tomb. And it was a cave with a stone rolled upon it. And Jesus said, roll the stone aside. And then Martha, 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 Miss Practical, what does she say? Lord, don't do that. No, he's been dead 4 days and the body goes on stink. Like, Lord, no, let's not do this, you know. So Martha being Miss Practical is like, Lord, let's not be doing this, okay? And Jesus responds, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? You see, Martha had faith, but her faith wasn't quite mature yet. It was still growing. And when she didn't realize that her faith and Mary's faith, it was about to take a huge leap here in a few moments. Because they still weren't catching on, what is he up to? And the 4 days is important because the Jewish people believe the time that your spirit would linger around for 3 days. And after 3 days, it wouldn't be with God. And so they rolled the stone aside. And then Jesus looked to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. Think about that. Before the prayer was answered, Jesus said, thank you. So often, we wait till a prayer gets answered before we give God the thanks. You know, Thanksgiving's coming up in a few weeks. But we need to have an attitude of gratitude that in our prayers, Lord, I thank you for answering this prayer. You might answer in a way that I might not like or might not understand, but I thank you. And Jesus says, you always hear me, but I say it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here that they will believe you sent me. You see, there was a plan involved with this. Jesus speaks to Martha. Martha would get Mary. When Mary comes, she'll bring all these people from Jerusalem and Bethany with her. And so this will not be a little private ceremony, but this will be a very public event. Lots of eyewitnesses will see this. And then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come forth." So the question has been asked sometimes, why does Jesus say Lazarus? And the response has been, because if he just said come forth, all the saints might come forth at the same time. And it is not true that we believe that the day will come when the voice of the archangel, when all the saints will rise, when he might say, "Children of God, come forth." And the dead man came out, hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus told him, "Unwrap him, let him go." Yeah. And many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. And so I can imagine there's Mary and Martha, and they're hugging on Lazarus, and they're walking away. And then there's Jesus standing at the entrance of the empty tomb. Now, what's going through his mind? He's thinking, in a few weeks, it'll be my turn. I'll be the one buried, wrapped up in grave cloths, a headcloth. And they're going to come and anoint my body. But the difference is, though, I won't need any assistance, because I'm going to be resurrected. When they go in, the grave cloths will be lying there. I'll be free. And then it says, many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. So not only did Mary and Martha take a leap in faith and grow in their faith, but the people with them. And so this morning, as we wrap up, I just want to encourage you on this All Saints Sunday to remember that we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. That when you go to the funeral home, and that's not the end of the story. And I was there last night, and they said, look how he looks and this and that. And I thought, he's not really there. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And they can put us in a casket that's all pretty with a bunch of flowers. They can put you in an old pine box. It doesn't matter. Because we believe as Christians that when we die in the Lord, we leave here and we're with the Lord. And it doesn't matter how they bury us or they cremate us or do whatever. On resurrection morning, Jesus will say, "Children of God, come forth." And in the twinkling of an eye, all those saints will be resurrected again, to live again. You see, if that didn't happen, that would mean death had won at least part of the victory. But we believe, though, that Jesus, he was just the opening fire of his resurrection. He was just a preview of what's about to happen. And on resurrection morning, all the saints will rise. Remember that song about grace a-bursting, saints a-shouting, heavenly beauty all around. I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. And so I want to encourage you on this All Saints Sunday is to, one, continue as we've done earlier today, give thanks to God for the saints in our lives. Remember them, honor them. And two, it's okay to mourn for them, and say, "I miss them." That's fine. But we should not mourn as folks, as Paul says, without hope. We should mourn with a sense of expectancy of, that saint, I will meet her again. I will meet him again. This is not the end. Death and the devil does not get the final say-so. Jesus, the resurrection and life, he gets the final say-so. The day will come when we will meet again. I'm sure you remember that song, "I Will Meet You in the Morning," right? The idea when all the saints of all the ages come together. And so I just want to send you out this morning on the message of hope, that while we remember our loved ones and we mourn them and we miss them, especially as we get near the holiday season, we don't mourn out of despair. We mourn with hope, knowing that, yes, Lord, they're buried, but I believe in you. You are the Christ, the Son of God, and I believe that you are the resurrection and life. And those who believe in you never truly die. They will live again. They will rise again. Thanks be to God. Amen.